The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai, episode 45. Welcome to The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai. I'm your host, Dr. Yishai Barkadare, psychologist and adaptability coach to entrepreneurs and business leaders. I believe that working on your business is more important than working in your business. If you want to achieve your business goals and dreams without the cost and pain of having to make every mistake yourself, then The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai is the podcast for you. I'm here to help you learn from the lessons of entrepreneurs and business leaders to help you work on yourself and your business so that you can save time, energy, and grow faster. For those of you new to the show, The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai presents 3 new episodes each week. On Insight Sunday, we dive into the minds of business leaders through insightful guest interviews. On Story Tuesday, we dig deeper with them and learn firsthand from their stories, hard-earned lessons, and experience. On Thrive Thursday, it's just you and me on the couch, where you'll hear scientific research, my thoughts, and tangible tactics to adapt and grow yourself and your business. Grab a proverbial seat and listen up so you can learn from the minds and mistakes business leaders and apply their wisdom to your life and business. Welcome to Thrive Thursday with Dr. Yishai. This week on the Business Couch with me, I had Reva Prale, a woman's health expert and the founder, owner, and leading pelvic floor physical therapist at Revitalize Physical Therapy. On Insight Sunday, Reva shared how she fell in love at first sight with pelvic floor physical therapy and how her passion pushed her to build beyond her work into creating a pelvic floor program at the hospital she worked at and eventually into founding her business, Revitalize Physical Therapy. On Story Tuesday, Reva shared powerful lessons she learned about outsourcing, the vetting process in hiring, responsibility, and boundaries in business. She also talked about pivoting when her whole business model was pulled out from under her as the pandemic hit. If you haven't yet, go back and listen to episodes 43 and 44. Today, I'm continuing from last week's episode, episode 42, on my personally developed adaptability paradigm that draws on my experience, training, and expertise as a psychologist, as well as cutting-edge research and neuroscience. Last week, I outlined the fundamentals and underpinning science for a huge shift in thinking and responding to the disruptions that emotions can bring into our lives. Today, in part one of 3 episodes that dive deep into detailed stories and research, I'm talking about a core element of emotional intelligence and outlining ways to understand, think, and respond in ways that will tap into a new source of power and adaptation you've always had but never realized. Before we dive in, I wanted to share that The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai is brought to you by Adaptability Coaching and Consulting. If you lead a 6 or 7+ figure business and experience a drag or dip in your growth, if you notice diminishing engagement or passion in your business, if you want to eliminate exhaustion and burnout in yourself or your teams, if you sense that you or your company would grow faster and stronger, if you could just pivot efficiently and effectively when circumstances change, like they have so much in all of 2020, then you've got an adaptability problem. Adaptability coaching and consulting will give you and your business the psychology and neuroscience-backed tools to understand and leverage core adaptability skills through the unique 3D adaptation framework. You can learn to harness and leverage core adaptability skills to grow yourself and your company. You can learn to become fast, flexible, and formidable. You can learn to turn tough circumstances, reactions, and exhaustion into energy, excitement, and excellence for you and your company. To learn more, go to dryishai.com/coaching or dryishai.com/consulting. Now, without further ado, let's dive into the first of the 3 P's, parameters. In the very first pages of their book, Emotional Intelligence 2.0, Drs. Travis Bradbury and Jean Greaves, co-founders of the global think tank TalentSmart that has served over 75% of the Fortune 500 describe a riveting encounter that a surfer has with a great white shark. Throughout the harrowing event, they paint in exquisite detail the paralyzing fear, galvanizing anger, and anticipatory sadness that the surfer experiences as he grapples with the situation and with the flood of reactions in his brain and body. While the surfer survives, they conclude, we all experience raging battles between the emotional and rational parts of our brains. They go on to describe and outline a process to become aware of, understand, manage, and respond effectively when challenging feelings show up. It's quite a read and has a great many research-backed interventions that you can use yourself to increase your EQ skills. A couple weeks ago, in episode 39, I talked about what emotional intelligence got right and wrong. One of the empowering results of the research that led to and has since been conducted that contributed to the emotional intelligence movement is that emotions have a degree of consistency, both across people and within an individual. That is to say, emotions are not random occurrences. They show up in similar situations with similar signatures and play out in similar ways. For many people, this is fairly intuitive. If you pay attention, you'll notice that you can reasonably anticipate what may anger your boss or upset your partner. You may also notice that many people react similarly to a given situation, like a collective groan when everybody at the office has to put in overtime, or the common feeling of frustration when your internet cuts out. Of course, that isn't a simple universal. According to the research of neuroscientist Dr. Lisa Feldman Barrett, who has been researching emotions across the globe for over 25 years, emotions aren't experienced or expressed the same way everywhere. In fact, many of us have experiences that show us we can be surprised by them, whether our own emotions or from the reactions of others, and that there could be serious consequences. Instead, according to Dr. Barrett, they're constructed. We use our past experiences to construct our present situation and make guesses or anticipate what will come next as we prepare to act. When I take on the role of psychologist, I often find past experiences and stories at play. Our foundational learning experiences, whether early in life, first romantic relationships and jobs, or particularly impactful moments in our lives, they shape how we think, react, and construct our experiences. When that process leads to significant distress and dysfunction, I often work with patients to uncover and process their past as a core part of the path to becoming more aware in the present and finding ways to choose a different and more effective way forward. When it comes to coaching and consulting, we look at the present and future as they relate to a goal or set of goals. For example, when an entrepreneur is frequently overwhelmed with everything they need to take on and shoulder in context of their business, or when leadership struggles to ensure the entire team is invested, passionate, and engaged to produce their best work, we take a look at the reaction in the present, what the goals are so we can clarify what outcome and future is important, and work towards bridging the two meaningfully. It's a process of consistent work, developing skills and processes to move them closer towards their goals. Whether you're thinking about yourself or your business, we and our teams are all human. We all have moments where we get triggered or we have an amplified reaction in the present because of past experience or we are anticipating an outcome. But even those situations and moments are still not random. Whether it's because of past experience or not, there is always human perception and circumstance in the present. For example, if you have an upcoming deadline, like an upcoming presentation to score a big contract and win new business, you may experience a number of reactions. Perhaps excitement for the possibility of getting a win and growing the business. Maybe nervousness or worry about messing up and losing out, with all the far-flung 7 miles down the road consequences that may come along with it. While you may be experiencing one or both, it's unlikely that in the weeks leading up, you're experiencing anger, especially as you are smoothly preparing and making solid headway. You might experience frustration if you hit some roadblocks in the preparation process or the meeting gets pushed back over and over when you were ready already. But you're unlikely to experience feeling elated and overjoyed before the deal is even decided. You might experience disappointment afterwards if it didn't work out, though. Notice that each of these reactions accompanies a brief scenario. There are situations that we tend to experience happiness, and those we tend to experience fear, those we tend to experience excitement, and those we tend to experience frustration. If you sat down to a meal expecting your most favorite, delicious delights, you're not likely to feel afraid. But you would experience fear if you perceived danger. And you're not likely to experience happiness in that moment. So what's the point? The point is that when you imagine feeling exhausted at the end of your day, you probably have an image of the situation. There's a set of parameters that you could predict feeling exhausted with moderate or high accuracy. Sometimes that has to do with your previous experience. Like if you go on a hike and partway through the hike, you're coming around a bend, and as you take a step, you hear a rustling in the bushes on your left, you hear a twig suddenly snap, and a snake springs at you, sinking its fangs into your calf and pumping its poison into your body. The ensuing rush to get medical attention, the agony and recovery notwithstanding, the next time you are rounding a bend on a trail, or hear a twig snap, or see rustling in a bush, your brain and body will react. You may find your heart racing, your eyes and ears searching for the slightest indicator of a snake. You may even feel the urge to run back the way you came. In short, the fight or flight of fear. That's the signature of fear. Though it can vary between cultures, in some cultures, laughter is a fear response. In others, going faint or falling asleep is a common fear response. While different cultures have different signatures, your signatures are likely to be quite consistent across your lifetime and in the culture that you grew up and live in. The same happens across many of the experiences and reactions in our bodies, with consistency in the parameters which they show up in. So take a moment and do this exercise with me. As I go through a number of reactions, pause and ask what the signature in your body looks like and what kind of circumstances bring up these reactions. What does overwhelm look and feel like in your body? When do you experience an uptick in overwhelm? What does worry look and feel like in your body? When do you experience an uptick in worry? What does frustration look and feel like in your body? When do you experience an uptick in frustration? What does anger look and feel like in your body? When do you experience an uptick in anger? What does stress look and feel like in your body? When do you experience an uptick in stress? I invite you to ask the same questions for yourself about disappointment, embarrassment, shame, guilt, jealousy, excitement, happiness, and joy. Hopefully, what you'll begin to notice is that there are trends, situations, or general parameters that bring up different thoughts, sensations, and emotions for you. What you're doing is cultivating awareness. Though it may be uncomfortable at times, or for some reactions more than others, that awareness can open new doors. What if you could more quickly identify when you felt stressed and overwhelmed and slow down? What if you had a clear understanding of the parameters under which they showed up and a selection of responses that could address those situations and lead to better outcomes? Being aware of the principle and parameters of emotions and cultivating your understanding is the first step and the first key to increasing your adaptability. So don't just ignore or let yourself stay on autopilot. Take the time to learn your own personal parameters and stay tuned for the next principle and practices that are coming up next week. Before wrapping up today, I wanted to summarize and share a taste of the next step. Way of summary, what we talked about today is that emotions and reactions are not at random. They have general parameters under which they show up. And yes, there's variation in how, when, and what those reactions look like. But there's tremendous consistency within a culture and an individual. That means you can identify, become aware of those parameters, and anticipate them. But beyond these steps and the practices we talked about today, when you have a predictable phenomenon that shows up under a specific set of parameters, the natural next step, following the scientific method and curiosity, is to ask the question, why does it show up under those specific circumstances? And in the case of a living organism, what is the function or purpose of that reaction? And on that note, I'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us today on the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai. If you enjoyed today's episode, take a moment to rate and review the podcast. It helps grow the show and gives more people like you the ability to learn and grow. You can also click the share button to share today's episode directly with someone you know who would enjoy it. The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai podcast artwork is made by Sam Barkadari, show notes by Yishai Barkadari, and music by www.purple-planet.com. The advice and opinions of the host and guests are our own. I'm a psychologist, but not your psychologist. The conversations and content of this podcast do not contain or create any psychology practice, diagnosis, or therapist-patient relationship with either the guest or the listener. So do your own research before using anything from this podcast. Thank you for listening. Remember, our thoughts and reactions affect our actions. By listening, we can learn from the challenges others face and the choices they make, so that we can make better decisions and get better results.